Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the eighth day arrived for the child's circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Now, when the day came for them to be purified, as laid down by the law of Moses, the couple took Jesus up to Jerusalem and presented him to God. For it is written in the law of our God, every firstborn heir is to be consecrated to God. They likewise came to offer and sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accord with the dictate of the law of our God. Now, there lived in Jerusalem a man named Simeon. He was devout and just, anticipating the consolation of Israel, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah of God. Prompted by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the customary rituals of the law, Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Now, O God, you can dismiss your servant in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the peoples to see, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." As the child's mother and father stood there, marveling at the things that were being said, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the mother, "This child is destined to be the downfall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that it is rejected, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. The sword will pierce your heart as well." There was a woman named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was a prophet. She had lived a long life, 7 years with her husband, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, worshiping day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up at that moment, she gave thanks to God and talked about the child, Jesus, to all who anticipated the deliverance of Jerusalem. When the couple had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of God, they returned to Galilee and their own town of Nazareth. The child grew in size and strength. Jesus was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. My siblings, I have never had an angelic visit. No, if I'm being totally honest, I have never been visited by an angel, or even a multitude of angels. Nor have I ever had a dream where God tells me exactly what to do. Nor have I ever received a clear-cut, exact promise from the Holy Spirit. No, I have never received such direct communication from God. Which is why I am so, so grateful that we get Anna's story today. And these early stories of the revelation of who Jesus is, pretty much everyone else, save Anna, receives some kind of direct communication from God, a divine spoiler, if you will. The angel Gabriel tells Mary that her son is the Son of God. In Matthew's gospel, an angel of the Lord visits Joseph in a dream to tell him that Mary's son is conceived from the Holy Spirit and will be called Emmanuel, God with us. The angel Gabriel visits Zechariah to tell him exactly who his son John and his cousin Jesus will become. The Holy Spirit informs Elizabeth. A whole multitude of angels come to tell the shepherds exactly where to find Jesus and who he is, the Savior. And the Holy Spirit promises Simeon that he will not die until he has seen the Lord's Messiah. And if that is not enough, the Holy Spirit leads Simeon into the temple to help him find Jesus. They all receive some form of direct communication from God telling them who Jesus is. So when they meet Jesus, they know exactly who he is, the Messiah, Son of God, Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. Anna, on the other hand, receives no divine message. She does not receive direct communication from God telling her who Jesus is and to be on the lookout for his coming. Yet, without any divine spoilers at all, Anna knows immediately who Jesus is. Somehow, she knows that Jesus is the Messiah without God even having to tell her. Anna is amazing. And her story is so important for us to hear because of all these early people who know who Jesus is, Anna is the most relatable. She is the one that we can learn from. We who are not so lucky as to have angelic visits can learn from Anna, who recognized the presence of God in Jesus without any divine spoilers at all. How does Anna do it? How does she know? How is it that when Anna looks at this young couple, at this young infant, she knows who Jesus is? That he is God incarnate. I want to know how Anna became so attuned to the presence of God that she could look at this little baby and know that he is the Son of God. I want to learn to see God's presence like Anna does. How does she do it? Our gospel lesson tells us these few details about Anna. There was a woman named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was a prophet. She had lived a long life, 7 years with her husband, and then as a widow, to the age of 84. She never left the temple, worshiping day and night, fasting, and praying. Anna is 84 years old when she meets Jesus, and she has been a widow for most of her life. Like most Hebrew women, she was probably married at a very young age. Unlike most Hebrew women, she was also widowed at a very young age. She had only been married 7 years when her husband died. Anna knows what loss kids. And having lived her life after her husband's death in the temple, she would have witnessed many losses, witnessed many needs, grievances, confessions, griefs. In the temple, she would have seen the many needs and hardships of humankind brought to God. She also would have seen the joys. She would have witnessed many families bringing their children to be dedicated to God. In the temple, she would have seen and heard so many voices raised in praise to God for the many joys, thanksgivings, hopes, and loves of humankind. In the temple, Anna would have witnessed the hopes and fears of all the years brought to God. Anna lived her life fully in the community of faith. But she didn't just participate in the community of faith. She grounded that participation in her relationship with God, worshiping day and night, fasting and praying. Constant, active relationship with God through worship, fasting, praying, and constant active relationship with other people, experiencing their ups and downs, their hopes and fears. That is how Anna lived her entire life. And it is the only clue we have as to how she was able to recognize who Jesus is. Anna lived her life in constant active relationship with God and with her community. She had witnessed the presence of God in people's lives every day. So when she saw this little baby brought into the temple, she recognized immediately the presence of God in Jesus. Anna did not need a divine message or direct communication from God to recognize Jesus. Instead, she lived a life of constant faith. Living such a life of faith, always in relationship with God and always in relationship with her community, attuned Anna to the presence of God. My siblings, be attuned to the presence of God. Because the incarnation of God in Jesus the Christ that we celebrate every year at Christmas means that God is fully present in our world. God was born and lived and died with us. And because of the resurrection, the incarnate presence of God was not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus is still with us. He is God with us, Emmanuel, yesterday and today and tomorrow and every tomorrow after. Jesus is with us in all times and in all places. And we do not need divine spoilers to witness the presence of Jesus among us. So we can learn from Anna. When we live like Anna did, lives of constant, active faith, always in relationship with God, and always in relationship with our community, we too become attuned to the presence of God. And like Anna, we can witness the presence of Jesus, who is God with us. Amen.